Amen. Are you glad to be here today? Amen. Dancing on the grave that I was living in. Maybe you don't quite understand that, but man, there was a time in my life I was suicidal. Amen. And I'm not in that grave anymore. There was a time in my life I was so confused, but I'm not in that grave anymore. Man, there was a time that I ran with a group that was so lost, but I'm not in that grave anymore. See, you can't dance my dance. You can't praise my praise because you weren't in my grave like I was in my grave. I don't know where he brought you from, but aren't you so glad he brought you from there? When I think of where I'm going, in terms of where I've been, it makes me glad to know that I've been born again. Oh, he's so worthy. He's so worthy. He is so worthy. I don't know what your grave was, but I know who got you out of it. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews 12 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. One verse, that's all I got for you. But oh, what a verse. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I've told you this story before, and it's worth repeating because the best illustration that I've ever heard about author and finisher came from Megan's dad, Brother Shane Hensley. Christian school's different than public school. In Christian school, they have a convention here locally, and the kids would sign up, and Chastity signed up for a certain race, and she showed up to the race, and nobody else had entered in that race. So she looked at him and said, "I win." He said, "No, you still have to run the race." And Shane said, as she's running around the track, she crosses the finish line, and he said she was the winner. She came in first place, but he said technically she came in last place as well. He said, so she was the first and the last because she was the only one in the race. Oh, you got to act better than that on that. That's good. That's good. You see, Jesus is the author and the finisher because he's the only one in the race. There ain't nobody like Jesus. Can I preach today? I just feel preachy. Can't nobody do you like Jesus can. Can't nobody save you like he can. Can't nobody pick you up like he can. Can't nobody feed you like he can. Can't nobody quench your thirst like he can. Can't nobody heal you like he can. Can't nobody deliver you like he can. Can't nobody be your comfort like he can. Can't nobody be your strength like he can. Can't nobody be your might like he can. He's the author and the finisher. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This faith that I had started in Jesus. Guess what? It's going to end in Jesus. Amen. That was set before him. I want to ask you a question today. Does God have preeminence in your life, or is he just an emergency standby? Say that again. Is God the preeminent one, the predominant one, or is he your EMT that you call only when you're in trouble? Because if you're here today and you only call him when you're in trouble, I don't want to preach to you today. I'll get you another day. But today, if he is the preeminent one in your life, I want to preach to you. Because there is something that should be taking place in the church that is his bride that we're not seeing right now. Can I get an amen? But just because we haven't seen it yet does not mean that we are not going to see it. I am tired of the church living below her means. I'm tired of the church worried about politics, worried about world events, worried about what's going on across the pond. I'm here to tell you, I got the one that's got the whole world in his hand, and I'm his bride, and I'm bone of his bone, and I'm flesh of his flesh, and I don't have to worry about what's going on in the world. All I got to worry about is what the Lamb wants me to do while I'm in the world. Amen. Why are you yelling? Because I'm excited. I could have said all that kind of boring and give you a little lecture on, but man, I feel this deeper than that. Supremacy, authority, control. Supremacy, authority, control. Does he have those things in your life? Because that's where he wants to be. God is my co-pilot. No, he's not. Let me say it like this. God ain't co-anything. I'll leave that alone. Oh, be careful, preacher. He ain't co-equal. He ain't co-anything. He's God all by himself. Somehow in the American church, we now have this taught a lot, and I searched these articles out as I was studying for this, and I found out that there is this concept now that is taught among, the progressive church about Christian balance. And so I read article after article after article about Christian balance. How that we have to, well, let me give it to you. Christians need to know how to balance faith in God with other aspects of life and how to achieve balance in worship, work, and relationships. That sounds kind of cutesy on the surface. But if I get down deeper into what we're really trying to say here, I personally have a problem with this. Because before you can have balance in anything, that means you have to have equal parts on each side. And let me tell you what God never asked me to do. Balance him with anything. He never expects me to balance him with work, with relationships. As a matter of fact, he said, I want the first fruit. I don't want to be balanced. I want to be priority. I want to be supreme. I want to be the heaviest thing in your life. That's what God wants. Balance. Listen, I looked up these definitions and I said, I'm ready to preach. Topic covered in sermons about balance, as I read, balancing faith and other aspects of life, how to balance faith in God with work, family, community, balancing worship, work, and relations, how to balance time spent in worship with time spent with working and time spent with family. How to balance that. God never asked me to give him a couple of hours on Sunday and somehow find that on this side, whereas me talking to my family is on this side. Thank you, Sam. Because let me tell you who knocks this theory out of the park. Jacob. Jacob had a wrestling match. Jacob had a fight with identity. Oh, let me say this. Man, I feel good today. I said Jacob had a fight with identity. There was a lot of name asking going on in that thing. What's your name, Jacob? What's your name? What are you asking my name for? There's a lot. What's your name? Let me ask you this. What's your name? What is your name? Because you know what? People label you. I preached this for years. I preached this. The man that was sick of the palsy, they took him up on the roof and they dropped him down. And the Bible says the man who was sick of the palsy was born before. And they let the sick of the palsy down where Jesus was. And Jesus said to the sick of the palsy, I don't know his name. But I know his condition. His name could have been Bartholomew, George, Petey, Roscoe. I don't know. But I know this. I know his condition. He was sick of the palsy. But we do that to all people in Scripture. History tells us that there was a man that was a disciple that went to India and made a massive impact on that place. And you know, we call him Doubting Thomas. There was a woman that touched the hem of his garment. We don't call him the woman. We don't call her the woman who was healed. We call her the woman with the... There was a man that received his sight. You know what we call him? Blind Bartimaeus. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not who I am. I was blind, but I'm not blind anymore. I did have an issue of blood, but I don't have that issue anymore. That's not who I am. So the devil tries to label you, look at him and say, that's not my name anymore. I'm not Doubting Thomas. I'm Believing Thomas, and I'm going to preach a revival that sets a country on fire. Because that's not who I am. The ability, balance is the ability to maintain a position often by distributing weight evenly. Huh? Wait a minute, you're telling me that I got to find balance? Meaning, I evenly distribute between God and work? I don't even want to do that. Let me say it again. I don't even want to try to do that. So I got to find a way to make sure that I'm not balanced in my walk with God. Jacob is wrestling with identity. He's fighting for who he really is. Let me start noticing you right now. You don't know who you are until you have an experience with the one that made you. People are searching for who they are. It's you. You'll never find out who you are until you find the one who created you. Because he created you very specifically, and he created you for a purpose. And the only way you're going to find that purpose is to find him. Jacob is wrestling with his identity to the point that at the end he gets a name change. But something goes on during the match. Something goes on in the wrestling. The hollow of his thigh, his hip, gets knocked out of joint. Let me tell you, where you at? Come here. What was that? Do that. Get back down. I got to see that first step again. Come on, do it again. Sit back down. Oh, you did it different that time. I seen you. I seen you. Everybody's watching now. That first time he got up, he went. A little different still. You still limping from it? Sometimes. I saw you. That you did that. The second time you did better. Did it hurt worse the second time? No, it was good. You just concentrated on it. A week ago, how was it? About the same. After you first got popped. Bad. He's not on his cane anymore. That's good, right? But you can tell a difference. You can go ahead. It's getting better. But man, when your hip is out of joint, when your hip ain't right, does it mess with you? Absolutely. You know what happens? I don't know if you noticed or not, but he still leans one way a little bit. When he first got it done, he leaned that way a lot. So much that he had something he had to lean on. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, you know what kind of experience we need with God? We need with one that knocks us out of balance with this world. And to where we lean one direction, and that's toward him.
Let me say it again. We need an experience with God, not like we have ever had before, but one that puts us a little out of sync, and there's no way we can balance after that experience. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be moderate in my walk with God. I want to lean toward Him in everything I do, whether it's at work, family, relationships, whatever it is. I want to lean toward Him. That kind of experience. I need a volunteer. Bring your chair. Get the rope. Good, you can sit down there. It'll be a while.
In this world, we want our cake.
We want our cake. And we want to eat it too. Can you say amen? Wouldn't it be really, really awesome? Talk to my ministers for a minute, or singers, or whatever. Wouldn't it be awesome if you could just get up and do what you do without practicing, without studying? I don't know if y'all know this or not, but man, that Dancing on the Grave, if they would have sung that without practicing, none of us would have been, we'd have been. You know how I know? Because I've heard people sing without practicing. And they blame it on the devil. Oh, come on. They get up in church and they say, "Find me, boys. The devil's trying to take my song." No, you just didn't practice, and it's horrible. The devil's not even near you right now. He let you crash that plane completely by yourself. Wouldn't it be nice if the blessing came and there was no sacrifice? I've had people tell me, you shouldn't preach with notes. I've had people tell me that. You should let the Spirit lead you like I do. I told Eddie, somebody told me that one time, and he knew them. And he said, "Yeah, I've heard them too." He said, "You know what the problem is? Notes have an end. They don't. That guy don't have an end. He needs notes." If you're afraid of getting the flu, then you can go, I think they're doing them at Walmart too, right? Everywhere. You can go about anywhere now. You stop the Blue Goose or firecrackers. I'm just kidding. You can just stop about anywhere and get you a vaccine. Here's what happens when you get a vaccine. I am going to inject you with a weakened amount of the flu. I'm not going to give it all to you, but I'm going to give you enough that your flesh can handle it and overcome it. You're not going to get an outbreak because I'm going to give you just enough so that it all works out and you stay balanced. Oh, y'all got to hear me. This is what the church in America wants. Give me just enough Jesus. Come on, preacher, don't get too radical with it. Give me just enough that my flesh can still overcome it, and I can still stay balanced. Just, I need to be immunized. Just enough. I don't want an outbreak. So just give me enough, just enough. Well, I'm tired of giving people just enough. Because when we get just enough, it makes us feel a little bad about ourselves. But then our flesh overcomes that. I want to get a dose of Jesus so great that my flesh can't overcome it. See, I don't know what kind of dose you got. But the church that I went to said, you need to pray. Not only do you need to be praying, you need to be filled. Filled with what? You need to be filled with something that overcomes your flesh. Endured. The word endured. He endured the cross. He endured it. Give me my definition, Shane. You got it? Or Jacob? Hypomeno. Hypomeno is the Greek word. Hypo. Hypo is where we get our word under. It's why it's a hypodermic needle. It's under the skin. It's why a hypocrite, a hypocrite, is a person that underperforms. They tell other people to do it one way, but they don't do it that way, so they underperform. Hence, they are hypocrites. I know what you're thinking. So this has to get under the skin. He endured. That's why they say, he endured. Listen to that. To remain or abide, not recede or flee, to persevere under misfortunes and trials, to hold fast to one's faith in Christ. Listen to what I'm telling you. Some people don't endure because it didn't get deep enough. See, we just want enough. Preacher, give me that little needle. I just want a little dose, just enough that I'll repent for feeling bad. I want to feel just bad enough to repent so that I'm good. Don't give me the whole dose. The problem with that one can only go so deep. See, there's a lot of doctrines that only go so deep. There's some doctrines that'll say, yeah, you can be saved, but you can't heal people. They only go so deep. There's some that say, oh yeah, you'll feel better and you'll be blessed and you'll get a new Rolex. But when cancer comes your way, you won't be able to overcome that. Some of it only gives you so much Jesus. And when you give me so much Jesus, I get frustrated because I feel a little yucky all the time.
Are y'all hearing me?
I walk around and my conscience don't feel right because you preach to me just enough Jesus that I feel bad about who I am. This is why Jacob wrestled, Darren. He didn't stop at that spot. He wrestled until he got his, don't ever trust a preacher without a limp. So you say, you know what? You ever told somebody this? You're really getting under my, you ever said that? And if they keep on, then you say, you're getting on my, oh, it's deeper. Getting a little deeper. I don't want to stop there. I don't want to stop with this just to get. I don't want to just get under your skin. I don't want to stop just getting on your nerves. Because sometimes preaching gets on your nerves. Oh, come on. Anybody? No, y'all don't want to say it because I'm preaching today. Any of those guys get on your nerves? You can tell me now. Blink. Does preaching ever get on your nerves? No, have you ever been sent into service and a preacher's preaching and it's hitting you right where you live? And it's deeper than just under your skin? And you start trying to find reasons why not to believe what he's preaching and he's preaching now the Bible? Oh, you got to go deeper than under the skin. You got to go deeper than the nerves. As a matter of fact, you can, I'm telling you right there, this right here will go all the way into the bone. I said this will go to the very bone. So how's that Jesus working out for you? Well, is he under? No, it's deeper than under my skin. Where's it? No, it's deeper than just on my nerves. Then where's it at? It's like a fire shut up in my bones. Let me tell you about the dose that I got. It wasn't just a vaccine. It was a dose of the Holy Ghost. And when I got that dose, oh, glory.
So how you going to know? How you going to know when he's full?
Let me tell you, the only way you can know anything is really, really, absolutely full.
What's it do?
It overflows. Because if you're looking at it at the eye, you say, yeah, that glass is full. And if you can put one more drop in it, is it full? The only way you can know that it is really full is when what in you gets on you. Maybe I'm on your nerves, and maybe I'm under your skin. I don't care. Because when you get the dose you need, it will make you overflow. Then you're not coming in, sitting in a church service. See, some people just got just enough. Oh, just a little bit. Just give me a little bit. I got stuff to do. I don't want enough Jesus that he messes up my schedule. I don't really want enough that it messes up my daily life. Just give me enough to get me through eternity. Because let me tell you what people do. People that use this as their Christianity, when things get rocky, they go looking for somebody that has this. How's church going for you? Oh, I'll tell you, you know, it's really wonderful. You know, we have brunch on Tuesdays. And I know I love Jesus, but I cuss a little bit. They make shirts that say that. How's your walk with Jesus? Well, I'm a Christian. I'm a Democrat. Look at my bumper sticker. I've seen those bumper stickers. I'm a Christian and I'm a Democrat. I'm not saying you're a Christian because you're a Republican either. But I am saying this, they're trying to convince me because it must be hard to convince me. I seen bumper sticker one time. It says nothing to do with the sermon, but I just think it's neat. I was behind a Pinto. Does anybody know what those are? In Sofia. And I'm driving down the road, and I looked at the bumper sticker and said, can you believe this thing runs? You're trying to convince me. Just give me enough. Just give me enough that I can still function and be in control. If it makes me feel a little yucky and gets under my skin, okay, that's fine. I understand. But don't get it down in my bones. Don't get it to where it becomes part of my marrow. Affect me a little bit, preacher, but please don't get it down to where it starts consuming me. I don't want to be consumed. Here's the problem. Our God is a consuming fire.
Thank you, Johnny. I have patience now. I'll let you know there was my patience.
It's your choice. It's your choice. Little boy kept falling out of bed. His mommy went in there, picked him up, threw him back into bed. She comes out, she says, get back into bed, get back in bed. Over, just over and over and over. She leaves the room and she says, get back in the bed. And she looks in and she watches him. And she said, I figured out the problem. And she went in and she said, now I know why you keep falling out of the bed. He said, why is that, Mom? She said, because you're not getting far enough in it. She said, you're right there on the edge. When you get far enough in, you won't. Oh, let me say it better. when it gets far enough into you, you won't fall out.
Western Christianity has redefined the whole concept of discipleship. Can I say that again? Western Christianity has redefined the whole concept of discipleship. When Jesus called disciples, when he called them, he said, come follow me. And if they said, I got to go bury my father, he said, you're not fit. If they said, I need to go take care of my oxen, he said, you're not fit. But somehow he said, if you're not willing to take up your cross and follow me, you're none of my disciples. If we're trying to balance it all out and keep one hand over here and one hand over here, and I'm telling you right now, we're going to fall apart. There was a song, y'all probably don't know it, but it went like this. It said, I want to be a sold out believer. I don't know any other words of that song. None. I can't tell you the next part of that song, but I remember that part. Because it got me deep. I don't want to just buy in. I want to sell out. I don't want just enough to make me come to the altar once in a while. I want enough to where my whole life becomes a sacrifice. Man, my wife is so awesome. I was at work and I was trying to order this thing and I said, Tracy, I need a big old needle before Sunday. She said, on it. This was Thursday. And Saturday, I don't know if y'all got Alexa or not, but she's walking down the hallway. And she said, Alexa, read me my notification. She said, my needle was in there. It's going to go deep. This is not a shallow religion. This is something you got to sell out for. This, man, I want to talk. Come on, Aaron. I'm ready. No, nobody stand up except the musicians for right now. I was talking to Jason this morning. We was talking about the church being a hospital. You didn't even know, did you? We're talking about the church being a hospital, and sometimes we sit in a pew and we need to be touched, but we won't come forward. Because we're afraid of what everybody thinks about us. Well, let me tell you what happens. It gets bad enough. I can only imagine you get your leg chopped off. It's like, well, I'm afraid to go to the hospital. I'm afraid of what people might think. I'm really not that good with the chainsaw. I don't want them to know. Are you really going to act like that? Oh, come on. Are you? No, you're going to get me out of here. Get me out of here. I know. I chopped my toes off with a lawnmower. I know how it works. I didn't run to those people's house and say, excuse me, I have seen 2F misplace my toe under your lawnmower. No, I ran in and said, got in an ambulance, and that guy said, what year is it? Who's the president? I was like, Bill Clinton. He thought, he really was the president at that time. He thought I was in shock or something. He's checking me out. I said, man, why'd they call an ambulance? He said, man, you've cut your foot really bad. I said, dude, I need a tow truck. He said, you are not right. When you get in enough trouble, you stop caring. Not caring, caring. So if you're here today and you're not as in love with Jesus right now as you were prior in your life, I want you to come up here and get prayer. If you're not in love with Jesus now, as much as you have been in the past, I want to pray for you. I know somebody wants to stand up. You don't want to be the first one. You're like, now. Your heart's beating. You're like, that's me. But I don't want to go up there. Everybody will know. And they'll think I'm a bad person. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get touched today. So I can safely assume that every person in this room is more in love with Jesus now than you've ever been in your life. Okay, check this out. Watch this. Come on, ministers. I want you to pray for me. I want another dose. You know what? I want to go. There were times when I dreamed about preaching on the street. There was times when I dreamed about doing all kinds of stuff. You know what? I want God to stir that gift up in me. Hold on. Y'all got to wait now. I got first. I got dibs. I get the first fruits of their prayers. I hope they're real tired when they pray for y'all.